Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Chav Ches. We left off on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children and the Eli Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom. And it's also sponsored by Eliza and Zev Belsky, the Zecha Nishmas, Eliza's grandfather, who was Nifta this past Shabbos, Yoshua Ben Tzvi, his Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss is a continuation of the discussion of Nidrei Onsin. The Mishnah is going to bring three different machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about particular types of Nidrei Onsin when it comes to tax collectors or ganavim that are trying to take something from you, and you might be able to ward them off with a certain type of Nidrei Onsin. So then the Gemara is going to discuss, well, wait a second, tax collectors, Dina, the Malchus Adina, why would you ward them off? You have a wonderful obligation to pay the taxes, Dina, the Malchus Adina, so you have to pay your taxes. How could it be that you're going to try to evade tax collectors? So the Gemara is going to discuss a couple of possible answers, and then the Gemara is going to talk about that maybe the particular way that we're describing evading a tax collector is by utilizing Dvarim Shebelev, that you say one thing and then you think something else, a little extra in your mind without actually verbalizing it, and that even though normally Dvarim Shebelev doesn't work, maybe in these situations Dvarim Shebelev actually counts. Then the Gemara is going to ask a stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa about the Machlokas Beisham Beisil with regard to Nidrei Onsin, and we're going to have two resolutions to that stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa, and that brings us all the way down to the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Aleph. And that Mishnah is going to talk about a situation where you see that your trees are being threatened, there's some sort of storm that threatens to uproot your trees, or your talus, your clothing is being threatened, there's a fire that looks like it might chop your clothing and burn your clothing, and you make some sort of neder lahekdish. So the Gemara is going to talk about what exactly the circumstance of that neder is, and what does the Mishnah really mean later when the Mishnah says that ein lahem pidyon, that even though something is kodesh and it's ein lahem pidyon, there's no such thing as something that's kodesh, it doesn't have any pidyon. So what does the Mishnah mean when it says ein lahem pidyon? We probably won't get to it until tomorrow anyway. So let's see the Mishnah on the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So the previous Mishnah was discussing the fourth of the four types of nedarim that huta me'aleihem, and that was Nidrei Onsin. So our Mishnah gives us more examples of Nidrei Onsin. That's at least the way the Mefarish understands, the Ritva understands, the Rambam seems to understand. However, the Tos Shadim Shid Gubetzes and others say that it's not Nidrei Onsin that we're about to discuss in our Mishnah. What we're going to discuss in our Mishnah is something that's not even Mutar Me'aleim. Mutar Me'aleim sounds like, look, if you took the Neder, it's Mutar Me'aleim. These are Nedarim, that it's Mutar L'Chadchila to take these Nedarim Al Menas, not to fulfill them. That these are Nedarim that you're allowed to L'Chadchila enter into, knowing full well at the time that you're taking the neder that you have no intention whatsoever to fulfill them. So it's like a fifth category that's not even mutar me'elav. It's not even it's something that's beyond all the other categories that we've had so far. But anyway, so what are we discussing? Nodrun laharogin. If let's say there are listim that are coming to kill people to take, so you're allowed to take a neder ulacharamin, or you have people who are bandits that are going to steal your money, or lemochsin, you have tax collectors that are appointed by the king to collect taxes, to take your money. So if any of those categories of people come to take your payros, you're allowed to take a neder, shehi truma. You're allowed to say, look, you could kill me and take these payros, but they're truma, and you're not a Kohen, so I don't know what you're going to do with them, even if you take these payros, which obviously seems like a little bit strange. Meaning these people aren't worried about killing you, they're not worried about stealing from you, but you can tell them they're truma, we're not going to eat the truma. So Tosfos and the Rosh say, yeah, people are funny like that sometimes. People are very, very frum, but they spend their days stealing, and you know, they daven along Shmon Esrei, whatever. You know, when they daven for Parnasa, they're davening that they should have more people to steal from, whatever. I don't know, there are people that are funny like that. I don't know if funny is the right word, but the Mefarish and Shidum Gvetza say that no, dafka, because truma is taka more chamer than some of these things. Truma is a chiyuv misa, again, so is killing, but stealing, maybe isn't. The Rush writes that it could be that the truma is just something that's readily available, and therefore they're not, meaning you could buy a lot of truma for a very small amount of money, so they wouldn't view it as worth it to commit a crime in order to access truma. Tosfos raises the question, what benefit is there by taking a neder to the moches? The moches will just take other things, meaning you're going to say, oh no, I can't pay this to the tax of the king because these payros are truma. So he'll say, okay, so give me your television, give me your furniture, meaning he'll take something else that's definitely not truma. So Tosa says that they were not rugil to take a meches from people who were bringing truma to Kohanim, that they wouldn't collect taxes from people who were bringing truma to Kohanim. Rabbeinu Peretz says that the neder that Shehein Shal Beis HaMelech is a neder that you're noder to the moches, and the neder Shehi Truma is a neder that's laharogin ul'charamin, meaning enochinami. When we had three cases of people, three examples of people, haragin, charamin, and mochsin, and we're going to see, we only read truma so far, but we're going to see the Mishnah's going to give two examples of what you're being noder that it is, either that it's truma, or that it already belongs the Beis HaMelech, that it's something that belongs the Beis HaMelech. So when we say Shein Shal Beis HaMelech, that's for the Moches. But in Achinami, to say that it's Truma is not going to help for the Moches. Say that it's Truma is only going to help for the Haragin and Haramin. So anyway, so you say that it's Truma, and Afal Pi Sheino Truma, even though you know full well that it's not Truma, or Shein Shal Beis HaMelech, you say that these items are the Nechasim that belong to the Melech, Af Pi Sheino Shal Beis HaMelech, even though you know that they do not belong to the Melech. So you're allowed to say these things, even though you know that these things are not true, in order to avoid getting attacked or having these items taken away from you. So the Mishnah has Machlokas Tanayim. When does this heter apply? So it's going to be Machlokas Beisham Beis Hillel, but really three Machlokas Beisham Beis Hillel. So Beisham Yomrim Bakol Nodrin. In any situation of a neder, you could take a neder to pater you from the from someone who's trying to take your money, chutz mi b'shvua, but not, you're not allowed to take a shvua. A shvua is more chamor than a neder, because the Ran points out by a shvua it says lo yinoke. In the Otzar Gonim says in addition to that, a shvua is b'shem shamayim, whereas a neder is not. So a neder is going to be more chamor. You're not allowed to take a shvua when you're being threatened that your money is going to be taken from you. Beis Hillel amrim af b'shvua, you can take a shvua also that a neder and a shvua. That is machlokas number one between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. Machlokas number two, Beis Shammai Yomrim lo yiftach lo b'neder. You're not allowed to suggest that you will take the neder in order to prove that what you're saying is true. If the Anos asks you to take a neder, then you can respond by taking a neder. Meaning you say, you can't take this stuff, it's truma. And he says, oh yeah, take a neder to that effect. So then you can take a neder to that effect, but you cannot suggest, you cannot volunteer the neder according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel amrim af yiftach lo, that you're even allowed to volunteer the neder. And then a third machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai omrim b'meshuhu madiro. You're allowed to take a neder in the items that the Anos is asking for, but you're not allowed to add to that. That if the guy says, "Oh yeah, I want you to take a neder that these payros are that these payros are shel beis hamelech," so take a neder that you're not going to get any hanah. Well, the Mishnah is going to give an example that you're not going to get any hanah from person A today, and you say, "I take a neder, I'm not going to get any hanah from any person today." Meaning you're allowed to add to it. Ketzad, so how does that play out? Amar lo, emor konim ishti nenesli. The Anos says to the Noder, I want you to say, konim ishti nenesli, that you're taking a neder that your wife is going to be usher to get anah from you. Va'amar, and he says, konim ishti uvanai nenesli. He throws in his banim as well. So Beishami omrim ishto mutaris ubanav asurin. Beishami says, the neder is actually binding on the banim because the Anos never asked you to take a neder on the banim. You decided to add that yourself. Ubeisil omrim elu ve'elu mutarim. That both the wife and the banim are mutarim, since he only took that neder in order to be matzil his mammon. So we don't assume that he actually meant to include the banim in any sort of actual neder. The Rashash points out that even Beis Hillel would agree that lechachilu you should not be mosif on the neder, and that's why he uses the lashon of b'diavad elu ve'elu mutarim. But by the din of mutar liftach b'neder, that they even allow lechachilu, and that's why Beis Hillel said yiftach lo, meaning you have to be sensitive to the lashonos. Some lashonos are lashonos of what you may do lechachilu, and other lashonos are lashonos of what would work b'diavad, but not what you're actually allowed to do lechachila. Now the reason that the Beis Hillel holds that the banim are also mutter is because whatever you're being mosif is only on account of the ones, and just to be mechazik that the guy should believe you. The Shulchan Aruch adds that hu adin that you're allowed to take a shavua if he only asked you to take a neder. Meaning, if the guy said, "I want you to take a neder to the effect that what you're telling me is true," you're allowed to throw on top of that, "No, I'm not going to take a neder. I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to take a shavua. I'm going to make it even stronger." Okay, so now the Gemara asks on the din in our Mishnah, we said that one of the people that you're trying to avoid having to pay anything to is a tax collector. So says Gemara, how can you take a shavua or a neder to avoid paying taxes? Vamr Shmuel, dina de malchus adina. Don't we know the famous din of Shmuel, that dina de malchus adina, it's always Shmuel throughout Shas that says dina de malchus adina. It's not clear though that anyone disagrees. It's just Shmuel was the one that formulated this din. It doesn't seem from the way that Din Malchus Adin is explained by most of the Rishonim and Achronim that Shmuel was the one that came up with, meaning that prior to the days of Shmuel there was no din of Din Malchus Adin. It doesn't seem that it was a Takana Midrabanan that Shmuel made. But Shmuel gave it a nice catchy catchphrase, Din Malchus Adin. But it was always understood that you had to follow the law of the land. So you always have to follow the law of the land. And therefore, how could it be that you're taking a neder not to pay taxes? Why do you have to follow the law of the land? Where does it say in the Torah anywhere that you have to pay your taxes? So the Ran writes in the name of Tosos that since the Melech is the Bailim on the Aretz, and he can throw anyone out. So you can say, as long as you live in my house, as long as you live in my country, he's the owner of the country. So you can say, if you live here, you follow my rules. That's what the Ran quotes from Tosos. Rashbam in Maseches Babasra, where Din Malchus Adina also comes up. And Babasra, Daf Nun Dalet, writes a different reason, that he says that that all the Bnei HaMalchus, by living there, are mekabel on themselves that malchus. They're mekabel all the rules of that malchus. So it's about your own personal commitment. By virtue of living there, you're voluntarily being mekabel whatever rules the melech is going to make. If I recall, the Dvar Avram has a big piece on Din Malchus Adina, and he suggests a different possibility of the binding nature of Din Malchus Adina, and he suggests that it's very mistaver that of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, Dinim is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, meaning that Umos HaOlam are obligated when they have a country that they have to set up a system of law in their country. They have to make sure that it's a just society with a system of laws. So what's that going to be? What's that going to look like? We're going to say you have an obligation from the Ribono Shalom to set up a system of laws. Oh yeah, and by the way, we're going to ignore those laws. We're not going to observe any of those laws. We're just going to pretend they don't exist. How does that work? We're telling you that you have an obligation to set up those laws, and then we're going to ignore those laws by virtue of the fact that Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach includes an obligation to set up laws, so we have an obligation to observe those laws as well. Now, if you were to make a list of the top 10 famous runs in Maseches Nedarim, if you were to make a list of the top 3 famous runs, I don't know, one, you have a couple of candidates, but definitely top 3 famous runs in Maseches Nedarim, this one certainly is on that list. If you look in Ran, B'moches ha'omim me'elav, well, let's see what the Gemara first. So the Gemara says, what do we do about Din Malchus Adina? So two possibilities. Possibility number one, Amr Rav Chinna, Amr Rav Kana, Amr Shmuel, B'moches she'en lo kitzva. It's a moches, it's taking whatever he wants. And the way some of the Rishonim understand it, at least, the Rush in one of his explanations, and the Ritva, he's taking more than the Melech authorized him to take. He's going around. The Melech authorized him to collect X amount in taxes, and he's taking more than that. So that's not Din Malchus Adina. He's a Gazlan. So you could be noder to avoid having to pay him. The Rush in his other interpretation and other Rishonim suggests that Ein Lo Kitzva means that he's taking exactly what the Melech wants him to take, but he's not doing it equitably. Meaning the king says, from this city, I want you to collect X amount of dollars of taxes. And he should have either evenly distributed or income tax or something, some equitable system. But he's just, you know, if I like this person, I don't like that person. So that's why it's considered to be that. That's what it means that ain lo kitzvah, that there's no rhyme or reason to the tax code that this person is implementing. He's not mashve midosav. He's not being fair among the Bnei HaMedina. Other Rishonim, the Shidduch Vetzes, the Ravid, say that we're talking about the Melech himself taking more than the kitzvah and the amount that's makubal that he should receive. That's a chiddush. That a high tax rate. Why does this country need such a high tax rate? There are other countries that have a lower tax rate. That would be considered ein lo kitzvah. A second possible answer: Dvei Rabbi Yanai Amar b'moches ha'omid me'elav. That we're not talking about a moches that was appointed by the king. We're talking about a moches that was self-appointed. He's collecting taxes shelo kedin, not based on the din of the Malchusa. L'chora, it seems that Rabbi Yanai is cholik on Shmuel and holds that even if moches is ein lo kitzvah, that would be okay and that you would have to pay that. However, the Shidduch Vetzes quotes the Ritz that Rabbi Yanai is just giving another way that you'd be another situation where you would be allowed to evade taxes, but not that he disagrees with the first approach, meaning the first approach of Amar Rav Chinna, Amar Rav Kana, Amar Shmuel, B'moches Ein Lo Kitzvah. Rabbi Yanai also agrees that if it's Ein Lo Kitzvah, you don't have to pay the taxes because he's being totally unfair and unjust in the way that he collects taxes. And also, B'moches Omen Me'elav is another example, but Lav Dafka, that there's a machlokas over here. So in Ran, Dibra Maschel, B'moches Omen Me'elav, says the Ran, Shalom B'mitzvah Samelech, B'kosu B'tosus T'davka, If the basis of Din Malchus Adina, we just quoted before, the Ran and Nematosos, it's this line of the Ran. If the basis of Din Malchus Adina is that the whole land belongs to the king, so since the land belongs to him, he can say, as long as you live in my house, as long as you live in my land, you have to follow my rules. So that's only true by the Ovdei Kochavim. V'yacholomalem im lo tasu mitzvosai agarish eschem in haaretz, where he could say, if you don't like it, get out of here. Aval b'malchei Yisrael lo, l'fi sheretz Yisrael, kol Yisrael shutofin ba. But by Malchei Eretz Yisrael, they cannot implement Din Malchus Adina, because Eretz Yisrael, every Jew has a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, no one has a right to throw a Jew out of Eretz Yisrael. So since no one has a right to throw a Jew out of Eretz Yisrael, the whole foundation of Din Malchus Adina crumbles. So says the Ran. This is a very popular Ran among those who don't like paying taxes in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Shachter often points out that we don't paskin like this Ran in Shulchan Aruch, meaning when we paskin, you have to look at which shita we follow in Shulchan Aruch. And this Ran is not even quoted on the page in Shulchan Aruch. We don't paskin like this Ran in Shulchan Aruch. In addition to that, many of the taxes that we pay in Eretz Yisrael are not what this Gemara is even talking about. It's not talking about, this Gemara is talking about taxes where the king just decides that he wants to have maybe to pad his treasury, to make, to build new palaces, things like that, where a king is collecting for his own personal benefit. But when the king is collecting to distribute funds for our benefit, so that he could pave the roadway, so that there could be garbage pickups, so that's a totally different din. That's a din in a shutfus. That's like you live in a co-op or something, so someone's got to mow the lawn, someone's got to change the light bulbs in the hallway. So you can't just say, oh, let other people do that. They'll pay for that. I'm not going to, why should I pay for that? No, everyone who benefits from it, everyone who's part of that association has to pay for that. So that's why most of the taxes in Eretz Yisrael, that's the mechayev of most of the taxes. It's not about Din Malchus Adina. So it's two reasons why you would still have to pay taxes despite this Ran. First of all, we don't pass like this Ran. Second of all, even if you did pass like this Ran, it's not talking about the same thing. It's not talking about what we talk about when it comes to taxes. In fact, in Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vazner and Chelik Yud, some Reish Sadiyal discusses, well, wait a second, if we hold like the Ran, that there's no Din Malchus Adina in Eretz Yisrael, can you run red lights? Can you drive drive at very high speeds? Can you do? So he says, no, it doesn't apply to matters of safety. Matters of public safety, if there was no malchus doing it, we would all have an obligation to implement rules that would ensure public safety. And he quotes the Lashon of the Rambam, the Chayavim Bezdin Lechavein Hadrachim La'arei Miklat Ulesakino Samular Chivan Umasirin Mehem Kol Michshol V'chol Takala Vein Manichin Derech Lotel V'lo Gai V'derech Arei Miklat Lamed Bez Amos Rochav. So, al pisha zed din miyuchad lerotzchim midin tachin chahaderech. We should do this always, even though it's only for rotzchim, because we want to make sure that they're able to get to the Ir Miklat without being caught. But that's the lashon that he quotes, that we should always try to make sure that the roads are as safe as possible. And that's what Rav Bloy writes in Pisrei Choshen as well in Hilchos Kaneva, that whenever it comes to public safety matters, so then it's not an issue of Dina D'Malchusa. It's a totally separate issue, and certainly one is obligated to obey safety laws in order to maintain public safety. Okay, now the Gemara goes weiter. The Mishnah had said, Shein Shol Beis HaMelech, Vav Bi Shein Shol Beis HaMelech. You're allowed to take a neder that this stuff that this guy wants to take from you belongs to the Beis HaMelech, even though it's not. So, what's the lashon that you're using to take the neder? You can't say that you're taking a neder shehim shel beis hamelech, because that's not asering anything on anybody. Meaning a neder implies that you're asering something on somebody. The Chasam Sofer wonders, why is the Gemara only asking this on shehim shel beis hamelech and not on the line that came before that, shehim shel truma? That you're taking a neder shehim shel truma, it's the same kasha, you're still not asking anything on anybody. So he says that it could be that you asked the peros that the moches is asking for if they're not truma. And the Gemara is only asking shehim shel beis hamelech because you're saying not that the peros are shel beis hamelech, but that he is the person is me'anche beis hamelech. So you're not being noder on any peros, and that's why the Gemara is asking. That's a chiddush in how to read the Gemara. Shehim shel beis hamelech is can't bother me. I'm a government employee. You're not allowed to. I'm shel beis hamelech. So. But anyway, that's how the Chasam Sofer reads it. So anyway, so it says Gemara, hechi nadar. So Amar Rav, ba Omer ge asru peros ha'olam alai imen shel beis hamelech. We have to add in a little bit that the nether is that you're asring all the peros in the world on yourself if this stuff doesn't belong to the beis hamelech. So, kiven da amar ye asu itasha lekol per di alma. Well, says Gemara, wait a second. Since we're saying that the perus of the olam should be asu to you if it's not shal beis hamelech, so the perus, so how could we be matter you to be over that neder? That sounds like a real full fledged neder, meaning where our mission is saying you can take these adarim without any consequences, don't worry about them. Why are there no consequences? That's a really strong neder. You should be bound by that neder. So says the Gemara, no, ba'omer hayom. You say that you're asking the peros ha'olam on yourself today if it's not shel beis hamelech. So ein achinami, you're just not allowed to eat the peros today. Ida amar hayom lo mekabel minei moches. Why would the moches, be convinced by that? You say, oh, I'm telling you, this stuff is shel beis hamelech, it's shel truma, and I'll prove to you that I'm right. I'm willing not to eat an apple for the next 5 minutes if this stuff belongs to. Okay, you're probably not going to eat an apple for the next 5 minutes anyway. Hayom is not going to convince the person. You have to really, you have to have some skin in the game if you're going to convince the person. Say ida amar hayom. If you said hayom lo mekabel minei moches, the moches is never going to accept that. So it says Gemara, ba'omer bilibo hayom. No, the case is that you didn't say the word hayom out loud. Umosi besvas of stam. You just said that you're asring peros ha'olam alai, and then bilibo belev. You say the word hayom. Tosas m'saks babakam and daf kuf yud gimel points out that you could say bilibo that you're asring. It doesn't even have to be hayom. It could be shah achas rega echad. But if you say b'mefurash, that you're asking it li'olam, then you're not allowed to say b'libo, that it's only for that day. Because whatever you say b'lev, even though we're making a special exception, that the dvarim sh'b'lev over here are havi dvarim, that it still counts, it cannot go against that which you actually say. It can add perush to that which you actually said, but it cannot be soser, that which you actually said. So if you say b'feirush li'olam, you cannot then say b'lev hayom, or this rega, or this sha'a. But if you didn't say beferush hayom, then it could be even then we're going to listen to the dvarim shablev. Even though normally we say dvarim shablev are irrelevant, and over here you said a lashon that's mashma that you're asering it forever. So in adin we should follow that which comes out of your mouth, and it should be aser forever. But in this case, the gabayon is in shayni. In a case where there's someone there forcing you to take this neder, so that's considered that your dvarim shablev are being mefarish your dibur, and that's okay. The neder is chal only with that caveat that you add in dvarim shablev. Now, we had said Vaita in the Mishnah that we have a machlokas, Beishamai Beishillel, where Beishamai Yom Bakol, that you could take a neder, but not a shvua. Whereas Beishillel said, Yaf Beshvua. So Beishamai Yomrim, Bameshu Madiru, that Beishamai also said that you could only take a neder if the Anos is asking you to take a neder, but on a particular item, but you're not allowed to add to your neder. Beishillel, Af Bameshenu Madiru. You could add to the neder even beyond what he's asking you to do. So Ketzad, Omelo Konamishti Nanisli. So the Mishnah said that the Anos says, I want you to take a neder that your wife is going to be Asura for Ana from you. Vamar Konamishti Ubanai Nanisli. So Beishami Yom Ishto Mutaru, so Banav Asurnu, Beishilom Rem Eilu Veilu Mutaru. Right, that was the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Huna Tana, we have a Braisa that has a little bit of a different Nusach in the Machlokas Beishami Beishilom. That Beishami Yom Rem Lo Yiftach Lo Bishvua, U Beishilom Rem Af Yiftach Lo Bishvua. So there are two chilukim between the Girsa of the Machlokas, the way it's quoted in the Braisa, and the way it's quoted in the Mishnah. So the first is that Le Beishami Bishvua Hu Delo Yiftach, Delo Yiftach Lo, that according to Beis Shammai, that it's dafka with the shvua that the moches you can't suggest to take to the moches habeneder yiftachlo, but apparently you are allowed to initiate if it's a neder. Whereas in our Mishnah Vatanan Beis Shammai Yom lo yiftachlo beneder. Beis Shammai says you can't initiate; that it's only the moches that can initiate. You can only respond to what he initiates. So that's one difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. That in the Braisa it sounds like Beis Shammai holds you may initiate as long as you're only initiating a neder and not a shavua. Whereas in the Mishnah it says that Beis Shammai holds you're not allowed to initiate at all. Visu, and another difference is miftach hu delo yiftach lo b'shavua. Beis Shammai says that you're not allowed to be poseach in a shavua hameder neder b'shavua. But if the anus asks you to take a shavua, you may respond in kai, then you may take that shavua. Vatanan Beis Shammai on b'chol nodin chutz mi b'shavua. But in our Mishnah we learned that Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to take shvua at all. So those are two differences. First of all, can you volunteer a neder? And second of all, can you reply with a shvua to a request for a shvua? So in both situations, our Mishnah was more restrictive than this Braisa is. So the Gemara has two ways of resolving the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Answer number one is that Beis Shammai holds you're not allowed to take a shvua at all, and you're not allowed to volunteer anything. And there's no stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Tanam asnisin beneder. The Mishnah is teaching me the dinim of a neder, whether you're allowed to take a neder and whether you can be poseach beneder. Lo diach kochan de Beis Shammai, to tell me just how restrictive Beis Shammai is. That Beis Shammai is so machmir that they hold that even though you're allowed to take a neder, you're not allowed to volunteer it, and even though you're allowed to take a neder, you're not allowed to take a shvua. V'tana brisa b'shvua lo diach kochan de Beis Hillel. Whereas the brisa teaches me from the context of the dinim of shvua, not so that you could be medayik that anything less than that Beis Shammai I will allow. No, it's coming to tell me just how much Beis Hillel will allow, that that Beis Hillel's Mekel and holds that not only are you allowed to take a Shavua, you're even allowed to be Poseach B'Shavua, you're even allowed to volunteer a Shavua, and therefore there's no stira between the Braisa and the Mishnah, because Beis Shammai holds, just like we learned in the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to volunteer a neder, and that you're not allowed to take a Shavua at all. When the Braisa is Mashma, that you're only not allowed to be Poseach B'Shavua, that's because the Tana of the Braisa wants to tell me the Chiddush within Shitas Beis Hillel, who holds that you are allowed to be poseach b'shavua, and therefore the Tana doesn't spell out just how far Beis Shammai goes with their chumra, and only just lets us know that Beis Shammai disagrees with Beis Hillel, because the point of the Braisa is not to highlight Beis Shammai, it's to highlight how far Beis Hillel goes with their kula. The Rosh points out, wait, so our Mishnah is trying to highlight how far Beis Shammai goes with their Chumrah? Don't we have a general principle of Koach Teira Adif that we always try to highlight the Koach Teira? We always try to highlight those who are being more Mekil because of Koach Teira Adif. So he says, yeah, the Mishnah knew that there was a Brisa. So the Brisa was taking care of the Koach Teira Adif. So the Mishnah was free to emphasize the Koach Teira Adif. It's only when it's going to be one or the other, that's when we say Koach Teira Adif, that we'd rather emphasize the Koach Teira. Another possible answer, Rav Ashi Amar, the Brisa is not talking at all about the din, the same din that the Mishnah is talking about Harogin and Mochsin, etc. Hachik Tani, what the Brisa is saying is, Beishami Omrim Ein She'ela B'Shvua, that a Chacham is only able to be Matir Nedarim, but a Chacham cannot be Matir Shvua, because a Shvua is more Chamor than a Neder. When the Brisa says, Lo Yiftach Lo B'Shvua, it does not mean that you shouldn't volunteer a Shvua or this or that. No, it means that a Chacham cannot find you a Pesach in a Shvua and be Matir Yishvua, that's only a din by Nedarin. U'Beisil Alamrim Yesh She'el Lo B'Shvua. That just like the Chacham could be Matir Nedarim, so too it could be Matir Shvua. So that's what it means. Af Yiftach Lo B'Shvua. Nothing to do with our Mishnah Bechlal. It's got no connection to our Mishnah. So the Ran points out that the whole machlokas is on the Drabbanan level, but on the Daraisa level, of course, he could be Matir Shvua as well, because the Hatara of a Shvua is derived from the very same pasuk that Hataras Nedarim is derived from. Lo Yachel Dvaro, where the Gemara Chagiga Daf Yud Darshins, Hu Einu Mochel, Abel Acherim Mochel and Lo. So Beisil is Moda that Lechadchilo also, that it's Aser to be Matir Shvua. It's only if it was Hutra B'Dievet that it actually is Mutter. So that's what Beis Shammai argues and says that even B'Dievet it doesn't work. So really, the Ran limits this machlokas. It's not a machlokas whether you're allowed to. Everyone agrees you're not. The Chacham's not allowed to. It's not a machlokas on a Darais level. Everyone agrees on a Darais level for sure you're allowed to. The whole machlokas is midrabanan. If a Chacham was matir a Shvua, does the Shvua become mutter? So that's what Mishamai says. No, Mishidl says yes. That's how the Ran back in Chav Beis and Beis explains this this machlokas. Okay, now we move on to a new Mishnah. What exactly this Mishnah is doing here and what its connection is to the rest of the Perek is not abundantly clear, and it's something the Rishonim struggle with. Some suggest that it's a hemshech to Nidre Shkagos, which we had in Daf Chaf Hei Beis. Others say that since we had a Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, Nidre Onsin, so the Tana is teaching us in the din of this Mishnah, which is somewhat similar to an Ones type of situation, even though no one's forcing you to do anything. And some say that this Mishnah is not really about this Perek. It's just dealing with the Nedarim, where it's saying Pevali Boshavim, where what you're saying is not really what you mean to say. So the Tana talks about this example of Pevalev not being on the same page as each other, just like the other Mishnayos of Nidre Havayi, Nidre Shkagos, all these other Nidarim, where your Pevalev were not necessarily on the same page as each other, but maybe not exactly like any of the previous Mishnayos. So anyway, here's the story. We're going to add a little Perush based on the way the Gemara understands the Mishnah, but the way the Gemara understands the Mishnah is that the background is that you see a hurricane coming or a tornado coming, and it looks like your entire orchard of trees is going to be uprooted. So you say, Harei Netios Ha'elu Korban Im Eino Niktsasos, that I'm going to dedicate these Netios to be a Korban if they don't get destroyed. And you intend to use the value of the trees and to bring a Korban with that money. Or another example, you see a fire breaking out in the city, and you're afraid that all your clothing is going to get ruined, so it's going to get burned. So you say, Talis Zo Korban Im Eino Nisrefes. This talis should be a korban if it doesn't get burnt. So yeshla and pidyon, the netios and the talis have a pidyon. They're kadosh, and you could be poda them. But harei netios elu korban ad sheyiktzu. But if you say that these netios should be a korban ad sheyiktzu, so it sounds like they're going to be kadosh forever until your kotzets them, or talis o korban ad shetisarev. This talis should be a korban until it gets burnt. It gets burnt. Ein lem pidyon. Then there is no pidyon prior to the chopping of that tree, and even if you are po to them, they go back to becoming kadosh again, because the kedusha is chal, the hektish is chal at the ktsitsa, that it's going to be kodesh ad shiyiktzu. So it's as if you said that no pidyon is going to work up until the time of the ktsitsa. We view it as if that was the deal, that whatever pidyon I may attempt to do is irrelevant up until the time of the Ketzitza. So the Gemara is bothered by the Lashon of the Mishnah. Why does it say Yeshla and Pidyon? The reason it's Yeshla and Pidyon is because there's Kedusha, Velisni Kedosha. So just tell me that it has Kedusha, and I'll know that things that have Kedusha are Yeshla and Pidyon, just like any other Hegdish has Pidyon. Really, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that even though you're Tola the Kedusha on a Tanai of Ketzitza, the Kedusha is going to be Chal. So the Tana should have said the Iker Chiddush. And also in the Seifa, why does the Tana say Ein Lam Pidyon? Just the real Chiddush is Ein Kedoshos. It should say that it's not Kedoshos, and that's why it's Ein Lam Pidyon. So it says, I did by Mr. Seifa, Ein Lam Pidyon, since in the Sefer it wanted to teach me that Ein Lam Pidyon, and it has to use that Lashon in the Sefer, because to say Ein Kedoshos is not true, because Adraba, it's the reason Ein Lam Pidyon is not because they don't have Kedusha, it's because they have so much Kedusha, it's an irredeemable Kedusha, it's a Kedusha that you're not allowed to even be poda. So that's why Tananami Reisha Yesh Lam Pidyon. So that's why, to keep things consistent, the Reisha also says Ein Yesh Lam Pidyon and does not use the Lashon of Kedoshos to say that it's Kedoshos. What we're saying is, Agav the Seifa, we alter the Lashon of the Reisha, which is somewhat unusual, but sometimes the Gemara does that. The Seifa will be in the driver's seat in determining the language that we're going to use for a Mishnah. So the Gemara explains, well, Hechi Nadar, the Gemara wants to know, what Lashon were you makdish these Netios? If you say that these Netios will be a carbon of Eino Niktasos, so what does that mean, Eino Niktasos? Every tree eventually is Niktas, is eventually going to be cut down, so the Hegdash not be chal at all, because we know that the Tanai that you're making is never going to be fulfilled, because every tree ultimately will be is no tree lasts forever. So it can't be that you were told of the Hegdish in a Tanai that's definitely not going to be Mekuyam. So says Mar, no, Amar Ameimar, Ba'omer im Eino Nitzatzos Hayom Va'avar Yom V'lo Nitzatzu. Now the case is, you said these Nitzio should be a carbon if they don't get chopped down today, and since you're limiting it to a particular Zman of just today, so we can wait. We can wait out the day and see if the Tanai is fulfilled. So that's a Tanai that can very easily be fulfilled or not fulfilled, and that will determine whether they're Kaddosh or not, whether your Neder is Chal or not. So since they didn't get chopped down that day, on the day that you took the Neder, so the Tanai was fulfilled, and the Hegdash is going to be Chal. Well, says the Gemara, in Kain, Lamali in the Memar, Pshita, meaning, isn't that like, that's like ABCs, right? You're taking a very obvious Tanai, that's a Bifaneinu, that we're able to see right in front of us. You see the Kiyum HaTanai, good, so it's Kiyum HaTanai, so the Neder is going to be Chal. I don't need a Mishnah to tell me in the end of the third parak over here that that such a Tanai is going to work. So says Gemara, what we already explained when we read the Mishnah. Lo tzricha kogon di'ika zika nefisha. We're not telling us that the Mishnah is not telling us that Tanai is going to work, ketzitzas netias of that day, that the Neder is going to be Chal. No, it's talking about a case where there's a hurricane, where there are very strong winds that could uproot the Netios, and you're makdish the Netios im eino niktzatzos hayom, meaning if the wind doesn't uproot them. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that there's room to say that the hegdish should not be chal because you didn't really have gemiras das to be makdish them. You were only makdish them because you thought that for sure your whole field, your whole orchard was a goner, that it was all going to be destroyed by the impending storm. Had you known that it was not going to be uprooted, maybe you never would have been makdish it, and therefore maybe the hegdish shouldn't be chal. So the Mishnah is mechadish that the hektish is chal. Even so, since you knew that there's always a possibility that it's not going to be neka, right? All the time they say, oh, the biggest hurricane is coming, and sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. We don't know what's going to happen and what exactly the extent of the damage is going to be. So it was always a possibility that the trees were not going to be uprooted. So the Gemara proves that the Mishnah is talking about such a case where you see that there's an imminent threat to the trees, and that's why he took the neder, and the Gemara is going to say, and we see parallel in the case of the talus as well. Va'katanila, It says by the din of the Netios in the Mishnah, Gabe Talis, it says the din of the Netios right next to the din, it juxtaposes it with the din of a Talis, where you say, Talis o carbon, im einu nisrefes. So it becomes Hegdish and it has Pidyon. Now by a Talis, you can't say that you meant to be Makdish if it doesn't get burnt on a particular day. Because what? The Talis, the Srefa Kaima? Who thinks that way about their Talis? That, who woke up this morning nervous that their Talis might get burnt? That's not something that normally happens to a talis. A stam talis is not omei lisareth. So how could you make a tanai in the hegdish and something that's not shaykh, just doesn't happen? So it says we're in. We must make an ukimta in the Mishnah kigon tika tleika, that there's a fire that's raging and therefore it is shaykh that the talis would get burnt. And that's why you're told in the neder and the tanai that if this imminent threat doesn't come to fruition, if it doesn't actually destroy my talis, then the neder will be chal. So chanami dika zika nefisha. So here also, there's a very strong wind, there's a hurricane that's coming, and therefore your makdish, if it doesn't destroy the trees, the salka daitach, the masaka daitach, the lomit natslan, I might have thought that he thought that the netios have no chance, that they're never going to be saved, and therefore you have to take a neder, mishumachi kanadar, and that's why you took the neder, because you really didn't have any intention whatsoever to be makdish, because you didn't think that these trees were going to be saved. So it's like nidre shkagos, where there's no real gemir stas, and the neder should not be chal. So kamash malon, that's what the Mishnah is telling me, that you did have intention to be makdish them, even if the trees don't get uprooted, and you're not sure that they're going to be uprooted, and therefore it's not a situation of nidre shkagos, and the hegdish is in fact going to be chal. Okay, but tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots at the bottom of the page. Everyone have a wonderful day. Take care. Thank you.